Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
Today, we are talking about Was It Good For You? And we'll talk about the episode, and then we'll decide whether it was good for us.
All right. So also, Mike just told me to please sit a little bit closer to the microwave. I'm not letting that one slip by because I got in trouble for saying I wanted to put the dishwasher in the medicine cabinet. So here I am, just next to the microwave, getting lots of radiation.
Exactly. So this originally aired September 19th, 1999, written by MPK, directed by Dan Algrant, who's the guy who did the last episode as well, I believe, yeah.
And I'm going to say before I started this that I actually watched this at a friend's house who is a Sex and the City fan, so I was trying to not, like, let his commentary feed into it, but he did have a couple of, like, really good points that I wouldn't have caught, so we'll get to those.
We can sprinkle a little in there. Yeah. So the DVD recap. How do you know if you're good in bed? When Carrie dates a recovering alcoholic, she finds herself becoming his new addiction. Meanwhile, Charlotte's date falls asleep while making love, and she persuades the girls to sign up for a tantric sex workshop. Samantha's invited to be the subject of her gay friend's experiment, and Miranda tries to change her bedroom karma. Yeah, we'll go through it and then we'll cover some broad points at the end.
Okay.
I had some feelings about this episode.
Sure.
Okay. So we start out with Charlotte in bed.
With Bram Walker, an orthopedic surgeon.
Kevin J. Flynn is the actor.
Okay.
Were you asleep?
No, I was just resting my eyes.
And a really gratuitous shot of Charlotte's nipples.
Oh, that's hilarious that I didn't even notice that. That's how.
Oh, me and the gay men I was watching it with were like, Charlotte's nipples. It's a really great, like, bralette, but. Yeah.
It, this may have happened to a friend of mine a couple times.
Is this one, like, it actually happened to a friend of yours? Or did this happen to, like, is this like that Subway advertisement that's like, does your friend need male enhancement pills?
Sure.
He fell asleep when he was making love to me.
I actually felt really bad for Charlotte. Like, she's really, really upset at Carrie's.
Yeah, really upset. She's like, it sounds like she's lost her voice.
Yeah, like, she's been crying. Like, she's very, very unwell.
Is that the same kitchen? Carrie's kitchen just looks really nice.
Yeah, I think it is. We don't see into the kitchen very often.
Okay.
We tend to sort of, like, see past it at the front door. And maybe she's, like, in the fridge for a second. Yeah, we don't see in the kitchen very often. It's an interesting little inlet kitchen
right there.
She offers her herb tea.
She has a lot of tea.
She has a lot of herb tea.
Is that what you call it? I mean, herbal tea is, right, like, decaffeinated. It's tea made from herbs.
Right.
So it doesn't
I just think it's funny to call it herb tea.
Yeah, and I was thinking, Carrie has a lot of tea. But then I was thinking to myself, and I buy a lot of, I'm not a tea drinker, but I'll be at the grocery store and be like, this one sounds good. And then you buy the whole box, and now I have like 18
boxes
of tea.
Yeah, no, it's really weird. I actually like pretty specifically don't care for tea. And I own way more tea than it makes any sense for me to own, particularly with that fact.
The tea on tea.
Yeah, there's the tea on tea, all right.
Charlotte, honey, you want some tummy tamer?
Sam and Carrie are on a walk. Sam is not surprised.
She's in many shades of red.
She is in many shades of red. It was an interesting clothing choice because none of them are the same red, really.
No. And Sam's like, you know, I mean, this is honestly Sam's forte, I would say.
Her expertise, if you would.
I don't imagine many people falling asleep on her.
No, probably not.
Ever seen her on a Stairmaster? Nothing happening below the waist.
And yeah,
she
kind of is, yeah, she sort of blames Charlotte.
Right.
And then we kind of, you know, and her idea of, like, how you are in bed is how you are in life.
I don't think that's
true. I don't know that actually makes any sense.
I never met a man who was bad in bed who was good at life.
And just for the record, in bed, you are.
Don't make me state the obvious.
She hasn't mentioned, like, well, you know, I'm so good in bed that just last week.
It seems last week, Samantha was invited to dinner by a gay couple she'd known for years.
And we get to her gay friends, David. Now, no offense, I didn't even write the actors' names down. I don't know. This is so weird to me. This storyline is weird. I think that maybe just their character choices are weird. I just think they're weird. I think it's weird, and they're acting weird.
So you're saying you're not going to invite me to have a threesome with you in the future, Mr. Mike Jensen?
Probably not. And I don't know if I could date someone named Mike.
I also was like, they are creepy.
creepy. It's just creepy. There's
they're
like
not like creepy as humans,
like creepy.
I'm sure, but the storyline's a little bit weird.
So weird. You know, here's the thing about moments like this in anything, where it's sort of like the new millennium's not going to be about sexual, you know, boundaries. It's going to be about sexual exploitation. She actually says, like, it's 2000, which is funny because it's not 2000.
No, it's 1999.
There's sort of this thing I actually feel that kind of dates material when the subject is, well, no one will care about this in the future. Because here's the thing. It's like 19 years later and people still care about it to a certain extent. I mean, I don't know. I think there's a certain amount of like, in the future, no one will care about marriage or relationships or coupling or, you know, but that's not true. Like, there are certain things that do stick around.
Right.
I don't know. It's just a weird conversation. It is brought up, and I think this is fair game, because we've kind of talked about this, where Sam has her moment of like, you know, for a sex columnist,
yeah,
you have a very, and we sort of established this quite a few over and over again that Carrie isn't the most open minded person out there, for some, particularly for someone who writes about sex for a living.
And I heard them use the term pansexual, which I wasn't familiar with until recently, so it was kind of like something that they were using then.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this might have been the first time that I heard that. I don't 100%. What is the definition of pansexual?
Pansexual is when you are not attracted to necessarily a gender, but you're attracted to human beings in general. And people would argue that the difference between bisexual and pansexual is that bisexual, bi meaning two, so two right. genders, so male or female. Pansexual probably opens the door for,
like, trans.
Trans, and then...
questioning.
Right, and there's, like, non-binary.
Yeah, okay, I think that's interesting. I like
yeah,
that. That's interesting.
I do, too. It made a lot of sense to me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't mean to fight it. I don't mean to say, like, that doesn't exist. I just mean to say, sometimes there are these conversations with a character like Samantha where it's this idea that it doesn't matter at all. And I think it
does matter at all. There's still people fighting gay marriage.
Right, exactly.
In 2018. So it does matter. It is important, and we need to remember that.
We have the question.
Before we have the question, we get a shot of her bed and what's on her pillow. It looks like blood stains. I know it's not. I know it's the pattern on the pillowcase.
Yeah, it's a I noticed the pattern too.
It's
and
very
I don't know if
weird.
if we've maybe never seen that
pillowcase
yeah, before.
Strange.
It looks like there's some kind of weird stain. I was like, Carrie,
I mean,
what
the
did
question,
you do on your pillow?
The question really quickly is just how do you know if you're good in bed?
Right, that's the long and the short.
And now
it.
We get to the part where Mike is gonna get very mad about this. All I have written in my notes is Mike is gonna be mad about this cigarette.
Don't throw your cigarette on the ground. First of all, don't throw your cigarette on the ground. It is littering. It is littering when you throw your cigarette on the ground. Second of all, look around before you throw your cigarette if you're going to throw it. He hits her. He, like, throws his cigarette at her as she's walking by.
Christ, I'm sorry. I didn't see you. I just threw my cigarette.
Like, take a minute. This is self-involved is what this is.
And then we meet Patrick Casey. She introduced herself as Carrie Bradshaw, which I found interesting. They use first and last names.
Yeah. He mentions that you can't smoke
in
the
restaurant.
So, but you could smoke in restaurants at this time.
Right.
So it must have been a particular...
Now, in New York, was it first restaurants and then bars, or was it all banned together?
I think it was all banned together. Okay. That's my memory of it. Because that was the big thing, was that banning it would make people not want to go out to bars, which, of course, is not at all the case.
Right.
Patrick Casey, played by Richard Joseph Paul. He's done a lot. He's done a ton of stuff. This is, you know, actually quite a bit into a career.
Right.
So there's this is where I don't know what it's considered. It's not really a meet cute, but it sort of becomes a meet cute, where as she gets over the fact that she's mad about getting burned by his cigarette that he was throwing
on
the ground.
But it didn't leave a mark.
And she starts to notice that he's cute, and they kind of get a little flirtation going on, and they decide to go and have a cappuccino. Carrie loves a cappuccino.
And then three Marlboros and Marlboro Lights later.
So he must smoke Marlboros, and she smokes Marlboro Lights.
I don't know. Does she?
Here?
Does she? I was looking on that table for a...
Looking for a merit box.
A merit box, but we don't know. This is still a big mystery to us.
Right. So he writes music. He writes music mostly for terrible movies, apparently.
You know, I screamed when I knew what you did last summer on Elm Street Type.
And it's, she gets up to leave and then decides to do something that she never does.
Which is give her phone number out. She never does that.
I guess not. Or at least, well, we'll get to it later, where she says she does it very infrequently. But right. Does she write it on, like, a sugar packet?
I don't know what she's writing it
She writes it on something very, like, an equal packet or something like that. It's kind of odd. And then we get to Carrie and Miranda making her bed.
Yeah, making a bed together. Miranda's getting new bedding, which is very unlikely Miranda choice of bedding, I think.
Yeah, it is kind of bizarre. It almost feels like maybe she's going for what she thinks that she should be going for.
Right, it's like very...
I should get this sort of peach pink, or pink. Yeah, it's
florally.
Apparently it's very expensive.
Very expensive.
I don't know how expensive bedding runs in general.
I buy it at Marshall's.
Me too. I'm like, my bedding, I think this costs, you're looking at like a cumulative of $50 right here.
Bed in a bag, Mike yeah, Jensen. Exactly. No, I mean, it can be expensive, especially if you're buying like ABC carpet at home, I guess, if you were to go somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Miranda's trying to make a bed that she thinks if she wants to be in it, other people want to be in it.
The field of dreams.
Exactly. If you build it, he will come.
Right, but also like, most guys are gross and they don't care.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Can you imagine a straight guy getting back to a woman's house being like, oh, the bedding.
I don't know.
That's a deal breaker
that
right there.
That is a deal breaker. No, most guys are like, I just put this pizza on the ground real quick.
So we kind of get into like bed karma is what she's talking mm-hmm. about, which we're also talking about the phone number size up that Carrie mentions that she's pretty good at knowing when to give her number out.
Right.
But she only gives it out when she's pretty sure it's going to come back her way. When was the last time you gave someone your phone number? Like a stranger that you had just met?
I wish we could have like the ticking of the clock in this podcast.
Because I have no idea.
Yeah,
for
me neither.
I have
done it with online dating where like I'll be talking to someone online and then be like, and here's my number because I can't be bothered with an app.
I could not tell you
no.
the last time.
I mean, I don't know if I ever have, honestly.
Scream 4 comes to mind. What year did that movie come out? Never mind. Let's move past it. So Carrie is very done up.
Mm-hmm.
She's had a blowout.
Right,
like,
she's ready.
She's looking great. It's perfect time to run into someone on the street, and she certainly does.
The next day, I was in the village looking for the perfect $7 vintage dress to go with my $300 shoes when...
She runs into
Patrick Casey.
I had a choice. I could turn around and run away, or I could smile, be brave, and walk on over.
So they are on Perry Street, and she says, that's where she's kind of like caught up in between like...
Right.
What's happening, and he's talking to a friend. And
it is very awkward, and you don't know what's... Of course, you don't know what's happening here.
Right.
She doesn't know what's happening. We as an audience are kind of like,
what's happening? Because he's not really introducing her to this guy, and she...
Which all seems very, very weird and sketchy and very, very awkward.
So then she walks away, and then he runs after her, and is like...
Listen, let me explain.
No, I'm embarrassed. You know, you're in the middle of a thing with your lover or whoever,
I'm not gay. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, I wrote at the top of this page a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A whole lot of stuff that happens very quickly that I don't know if we can unpack it all. But even just from like, wasn't that I got gay vibes from you, which I get it to a certain extent. But I'm also like, I don't know, that's weird. Yeah, he reveals that he's an alcoholic and that's why he couldn't introduce the person and couldn't really say anything.
Because Carrie accuses that guy of like, what is that, your boyfriend?
Right. It's just, it's odd. It's fine.
I mean, I do understand that, you know, you don't want to say like, oh, hey, this is this girl I'm dating. And hey, we're just coming out of this, you know,
no,
meeting.
Absolutely.
And this is...
I don't know what the better option would have
been.
He probably handled it about the best way that he could have.
Right.
Just the follow-up conversation I found odd. And maybe it's because there's a certain awkwardness in the situation that he has sort of come out to her in this manner.
Right.
He does say in here that you're not supposed to date for the first year. But then he's like,
you know, I've only been in the program 11 months, and my sponsor said I really shouldn't get involved with someone for a year. And you know what the fuck? It's only a couple of weeks. Would you like to go out on a date sometime?
I can't think, why not?
He's like, hey, here's this thing that's very important to me that I need to stick by. But you know what? What the fuck?
Right.
Why don't we go out? And she says, well, I can't think of a reason. And I'm like, well, he kind of just told you a reason.
Right.
And I guess you don't need to take it more seriously than the person that it's applying to. I don't know. We're not setting ourselves up for greatness
right
now.
And I think what he's trying to do is probably find the normalcy in the situation. Because
sure.
He mentions later on, you know, like, I just don't want to... He kind of doesn't want to have that stigma you know? And right. I think he's trying to, in this moment, be like, you know what? I'm not supposed to date for the first year, but it's almost that time. Like, he's also probably feeling a bit uncomfortable because he's just told this woman that right. he dates that he's in recovery. And he's like, okay, how can I just...
And I don't know what time means in particular. I don't know that if they'd waited 1 month, right. this would have gone any better. It just is. It's just this exchange for me that feels like and maybe it's because I've seen it already. But like for me, it was like red flag. Like it just right. it looks like things are not going to go well. So they're going on dates, the sort of date after date. She keeps doing her lean in to mm-hmm. encourage him to kiss her. Which is very obvious. He clearly knows what she's doing and is intentionally not kissing her.
Right. Finally, she's dressed as Maria in West Side Story.
Okay.
And she just goes back. She tries to kiss him. He doesn't do it. And then she's like, fuck it, and goes back and...
Plants one on him, and he, along the lines of what the fuck, is now like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not supposed to go up there with you, but what the hell? Let's just make this happen.
Somehow, every candle in the apartment has been lit.
Yeah. There's a lot of ambiance.
Like, I feel like that was a pretty heated moment. So what did they do when they got up there? She was like, hold on
1 second. Just the lighting is off.
73 tea lights. Yeah, I got to exactly. get going first.
If you can handle that side of the room, I'll get this side of the room.
Yeah.
It literally, for like a longer amount of time than makes sense, looks like she's not even in the bed.
Right.
Like, she was just so tiny.
And he's just like jumping on the bed.
He's jumping up and like you can't even really see that she's there. He's very happy. He's, mm-hmm. you know, you're the best. You're
Sex
the best.
Sex is crazy.
Sex is crazy. It's amazing.
Then they smoke in bed. And they smoke in bed. Don't do that.
I know. And then we get to four women at brunch.
I love that waitress.
Oh, I don't know if I noticed her.
She's just like there. She's just there. Yeah, she's just waiting tables. I love her. I am that waitress. Samantha. Yes. Another one of those. Another moment for Samantha where they ask her, has she ever.
Yeah,
she's like, I fell asleep in bed once. I think it was the lewds.
Really, she fell in bed in like the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, with like a casual quaalude.
It's pretty good. So, just sort of
more recreational drug use from Miranda. Yeah. Or Samantha.
Charlotte is taking a class.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, you know, she has a trainer. She has, yeah, so she's decided to sign up for this class.
Are you actually going to do this?
Yep.
And seating was limited, so I signed you guys up.
And that's a real thing.
Which I can see her doing. Is it?
Yes. I mean, I've never been because I won't even put on a swimsuit in public, but. There are, like, those stores, those sex toy stores, they offer classes. And if you ever watch, like, HBO, like, or Vice, maybe Vice, I don't remember the exact shows. But there's, like, shows where they'll be like, there are classes because I remember watching Real Sex. Remember that show?
Back I absolutely do.
On HBO or Showtime a long time ago.
Yeah.
And there was, like, they often had those classes. Remember that? On that show.
Kind of.
And there was one moment I'm remembering where there was like this anal tuning fork. An anal tuning fork. And you would like put it in the butt and it would like ding.
I don't remember
of course,
that.
When we were watching this as friends, we weren't watching this like as something like sexy. We were all watching it like drinking, you know, cheap vodka, laughing.
Right.
You know, having like thinking it was hilarious. Anywho.
So they yeah, so she's signed them all up. They're all going to... And that's a very Charlotte thing, too, I think, that if she's going to sign up, she's going to go ahead.
Yeah, everyone's going
to
go.
And she kind of... She's able to convince everyone to go, even though Samantha thinks that she doesn't need it.
Right. Well, I think Charlotte also doesn't think she needs it, but if she has to do it, everyone should
right.
need it, you know.
What the hell? I don't exactly have them hanging from the rafters.
How to please a man. I could teach the damn class.
So now we get to the three-way.
The three-way, which Samantha has a very light makeup look on, a very natural makeup look. My friend who I was watching it with did say... Why the hell are they playing the dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy?
I remember, yeah, it was a very, very odd song choice. And they don't do it. They cut it short.
Yeah, after they, like,
quickly.
Eat her nipples.
It's so
like,
weird.
So
and
soft.
It's just that, it's that thing of this was always going to be weird. Like, it's just...
Yeah, and then they're like, and then they get down to there, and I'm like, does her beef smell? Because they're like down there, like, I can't do this.
I can't do it. And he wants to go get gelati.
Gelati?
That's like a city. Like, the gelati?
That's
I don't know.
Lady Gaga's real last name.
Like, no one caught gelati.
I did.
So bizarre. I mean, like, in the production room.
But that's, like, people that are like, we're going to start with the calamar.
Is that the same kind of thing? Because that makes me crazy, too. Gelati.
Now we're at the tantric sex workshop.
Well, before that, though, we do get Carrie's kind of revelation that she feels like Mr. Compulsion wasn't in bed with me.
He was in bed with a big bag of Chips Ahoy.
He's sort of trading habits. He was in bed with
the cookies,
right, exactly, exactly. So then we get to the tantric sex class.
Carrie is in a bathing suit cover-up.
Yeah, the three girls are not really taking this seriously. No, we do get the information that Miranda once dated an overeater, and I just want you to put that in your brain somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not taking it seriously. Carrie's, like, giggling.
Charlotte's, like, in a school costume.
Charlotte has come to learn.
Quiet, and you might learn something. This lady's supposed to be a genius.
If she's so good, why is she having this workshop in her apartment?
Which you pretty quickly discover why they're in someone's apartment when right. The husband appears Dr. with a ponytail. Ronnie Shapiro. Because he has to have a ponytail, yeah.
And they're going to really get down to that root chakra.
This is... I don't want to know the... I'm confused. So an hour and a half later...
Crippled by our inability to look away from a car crash, we watched as the Dr. Shapiro illustrated tantric sex.
Massage the head of the lingam as if you are using an orange juicer.
Has she been, like, giving him a hand job for an hour and a half?
Yeah, she's been massaging... What did they call it? Oh, something massage. And then she's talking... She's pretty much, like, then going into the... taint.
Yeah,
I don't really know what the
taint area,
what that is, and he's like he's grossing me out watching him.
So,
and like, then he like, you know, he shoots his stuff, and it looks like Lubriderm, like in Miranda's hair, but she doesn't know.
In Miranda's hair, the women bust up laughing. The woman even like admonishes them at one point, like the ladies who are laughing, please refrain. It's just so bizarre. And even, like, the discovery, I don't know if we discovered this now, but at some point that it was, like, $50. I don't know. It's just so bizarre. Like, if
like
this
they
is
paid
a real
$50
thing,
to watch this, like, old woman give her husband a handy in her
that's
apartment.
That's seriously what it seems like. Also, I, you know, the orgasm isn't the goal of this, but sometimes it's a nice side effect. I'm just never going to understand that. I also am never, like, an hour, you're not doing it right if it took you an hour and a half. I feel like I should teach this class. I would do a much better job than that lady. So Miranda gets hit, and that's the end of the scene.
And just like that, Miranda got hit by Old Faithful.
So now we cut to Carrie and Patrick.
Patrick, a week and a half they've been dating.
A week and a half they've been dating, which it is kind of nice to establish a time amount. So this episode has covered a week and a half. And
she says she doesn't think, because he says he loves her.
Yeah, he says that it's finally time to tell.
She's like, you don't love me, you love having sex.
And does he say that he'd already told his sponsor yes. that he loves her? And I would like to know what the sponsor had to say about it.
Well, he was probably like, why are you dating someone? It hasn't been a year right. yet.
So they're at West 4th.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the sign in the background.
I just think maybe we should slow down a little here.
What does that mean?
It means that, you know, things are going very fast, and you know, you have all these new feelings because you're not drinking.
No, 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 don't give me that program bullshit.
You know, Carrie's actually been pretty understanding about the situation and respectful, and she's just like, listen, like, I think this is all a lot for you, and she makes the comment, like, just let's take a few days apart, then we'll call each other, and she says, get yourself some cookies, which I thought was interesting because right. they people refer to sex as like getting your cookies.
Oh, that's funny.
Sometimes.
Yeah. It feels like she's really doing her best in this situation. Like she's not, she even says, call me tomorrow. She's like, let's not see each other a few days. Let's talk tomorrow. Let's like give it a week. He says to her, don't give me that program bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, it's your program, dude. Like,
well, he's probably just frustrated. You know, he has someone he feels in this moment, even though it's all for the best eventually, that like he's probably, I bet you his sponsor said the same thing to him.
Probably.
Like, why do you need to be dating this woman? Why, you know, you should maybe take some time off from seeing her for a week and come back to it. So he's probably like, oh my gosh, now my girlfriend's giving
it's
me the same
just
stuff.
It's when you just don't want to hear what you know is best for you.
Right.
He thinks that she's breaking up with him, and she's really, you know, she tries to insist that it's not a breakup. We
right.
just need a little bit of time. And this scene just sort of ends with you know, them parting ways. He's looking very defeated.
Mm-hmm.
We discover that Charlotte has got her money's worth.
Yeah, and she's like this weird phase. She's doing that 3-hour handy.
Once again, it shouldn't take that long. But What's-His-Face is awake now, so that's great. Yeah.
Good morning, sir.
We get to Miranda in bed. It's a gag. I get that it's a gag.
Is it that, like, she always feels like it's still there? Is that the gag? I don't get it.
I'm assuming that she's washed her hair and face at this point. So, like, to, like, kind of get the... There's, like, a pile of tissues on the bed.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. Like,
It's just a gag. It's a visual gag that doesn't really make any sense.
No.
But whatever.
Moving on.
So Carrie is awoken. I actually, at first, thought it was morning because it seems like it's kind of bright, but then we discover that it's the middle of the night.
And we're going to reenact Streetcar.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're, doing here because Patrick is very drunk.
Carrie!
He is breaking down. He is miserable. He gets naked.
What are you doing, God? Don't take your clothes off.
It's a very strategic, like, full nude moment.
I don't think that part's in Streetcar, is it?
I don't think so.
He has a Budweiser.
Is that what he has?
Yeah. Oh,
I couldn't even tell what he was holding. Yeah, she throws a robe down. I kind of want to be like, if he's taking off his own clothes, he's not going to put your robe on. You just threw your robe.
Yeah, one of the neighbors is like, shut up.
Yeah, it's just a bad scene. It's sort of it's played for laughs, which I have a tiny bit of an issue with, but I guess they play lots of things for laughs in the show that are actually serious.
Yeah, and I can't claim the... Streetcar reference my friends I was watching it with were okay. Like, oh, that's a terrible Marlon Brando. So, and he's listening to this right now too, so I gave you your credit. You're welcome.
And that's just sort of how it ends.
Yeah.
I mean, it ends with a sort of randomly glib comment of like, was I really that good in bed? And I'm like, no.
And there's something about codependency.
My first impulse was to go down and rescue him. But as I learned on our second date, that would be codependent.
And in a way, her throwing that robe was pretty codependent. You know, like, she should just be like, bye. And so she's like, no, cover up.
Yeah, cover up. He's not going to put that
robe
on.
I mean, I think, I feel like we're just buying time until, like, the inevitable happens.
Right. Yeah, a bit. Yeah, it was a... I guess we can call it a filler episode. I worry sometimes about coming across as, like, sexually prude. I'm really not. And I guess if,
No, you just claimed you could teach the handy class. Mike's handy dandies.
But, like, yeah. So I guess if you're a woman and your gay friends say, hey, let's try a three. I don't know. It just felt so weird to me, and they felt so weird to me. And then the tantric sex class just seems so weird to me.
No,
like,
I don't
go
think
sit
it's
in someone's living room.
I don't think it's prudish, but I also don't think it's wrong if you want to do that.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, I understand what you're saying.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with the penultimate episode of season 2. I'm pretty excited.
What's it called?
20-something girls versus 30-something women, I believe
it's
called. Yeah.
I don't know why I said yes. Like, I know. See you next week.
Next week.
Bye.
That was a nice little harmony moment.
Thank you.
You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at Mikey Jensen. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. Join us next week for 20-something girls versus 30-something women. One of them has a super cheesy, like, kind of pulling his pants down picture on his IMDb page. I don't know. Save that for your Grindr profile.
Like, it's like... Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to sing.
Is that what it is?
I don't know what it is.
No, it's a different one.
No. This is going to be great for the outtake.
It's going to be... How does that go? Is that it? Is that what's playing? Yeah. So then we get to the tantric.
Which is kind of an interesting, they mention it once, like, he's just trying to get his cookies. Like, I think they do make that line, or I'm smart. But they say something about, like it's like, never mind, cut this out. I'm trying to say something. Like, that's the best when girls are like, so, my cousin, when she gets her period, like, this weird thing happens where sometimes she gets, like, hair on her nipples. And someone's like, oh, my God, my, like, my friend does that, too. Like, just, I don't, because that's weird.
But, I know, like, that's bizarre.
That's bizarre. But, like, my cousin's friend had to, like, pluck two black hairs from, oh, my gosh, like, my sister had that once. Well, not my sister, but my friend. We know who you're talking about.
We know what's happening there.
Hairy nips. It's normal. Cosmo said so.